All right, folks, last week we weren't able to do a live show, but we did part one of The Blasphemy of Judeo-Christianity and the Heresy of the Holocaust, which is a real mouthful. And I was just able to log in to my computer, a very busy day today. And so,
Okay.
Pastor Steve, are you monitoring Eurofolk
Yeah,
Radio?
we're on.
We're on. Outstanding.
Woo-hoo, loud and clear, Brother Hebert says. Are you
Fantastic.
recording?
Yes. Well,
Okay.
I turned on the voice meter recorder just in case. The
Okay,
broadcaster is
there we
supposed to record it automatically, but it failed to do that for Bloodlines last Sunday. So I'll have to double check all this
go.
stuff. It changes without notice, right? It changes without notice.
Yeah.
So, but this awesome article entitled The Blasphemy of Judeo-Christianity and the Heresy of the Holocaust. And we had just begun reading this thinking either it's a Judeo-Christian piece or it's tongue-in-cheek because the guy's name is Ehud, which, did he assume a Jewish name or is he a Jew or what? Okay.
A lot of these guys play games.
Yeah, they play games. They play it. But from the context here and from the notes at the end of the article, he claims to be an Anglo-Saxon, despite the name, despite excuse me, despite the Jewish-sounding name.
Maybe it's a nom de plume,
It could be, absolutely.
using a name.
Yeah, he doesn't want to be killed, so he's
Yeah,
using
well,
a pseudonym, right? Okay, so
sure, you
yeah.
know.
So let me back up this paragraph here where we ended. Judeo-Christian, in the post-World War II era, this most unlikely term, Judeo-Christian, a true oxymoron or self-contradiction, has
It's not a
become,
brand of laundry detergent.
yeah, right? Although it probably will clean your laundry pretty good, has become the virtue signaling shibboleth invoked by those who claim Christ. But only a Christ who is subservient to the Jews and their interests, which is to say the ersatz morality of political correctness. Boy, this guy knows his stuff.
Yeah,
Yeah, he's tying these
I commented on that the last show.
yeah, he's tying up these
The
loose
dead
ends
on.
together, right? Taking into its scope the entire spectrum of the civil rights movement and race egalitarianism. It's a mouthful, but it's all true. Because the alternative, a Christianity not beholden to the Jews and which doesn't profess race equality, is said to be consonant with Nazism. Oh boy. Well, I guess.
Nazi Totsie, you're a
Yeah.
Nazi.
I guess we
Oh,
better
well.
shut up. Right? The Judeo world doesn't want to hear it because it's equated with Nazism, right? This is, yeah, if
Well,
you preach
who's
the
done
truth,
that?
you're a
They've done
Nazi.
that.
Yeah, of course they have. Okay. So he goes on to say, final sentence in this paragraph, where we left off last time. But as is well known, a signal feature of guilt, even when wrongly assigned, is its weakening of moral resolve. You can say that again. Or otherwise stated, guilt undermines faith and yields inability to live out Christian principle. Now, this guy sounds like a theologian.
Well, what he's saying here is people are so afraid of being called name that they won't stand up for moral principles.
That's right. And you can see what it's done to the morality
You
of the
can
white
see
race.
this today.
Yeah, an
But
average Christian.
they might I might get fired or lose a friend, or they might call me a name.
Right? Yeah. Nazi, anti-Semite, racist. All of which goes to say that the Judeo-Christian concept, as it is known today, is a nigh-perfect inversion of its original content, the original content of Christianity. Once meaning a Jew compelled to bow to Christ, it now denotes a Christian compelled to bow to the Jews.
Yes.
Okay.
And it is a false
Oh, it's a false
term.
concept. Yes.
There's no such thing as Judeo-Christianity.
Right.
You're either a
Yes.
Talmudist or you're a Christian.
That's right. It's one or the
And
other.
if you're a Christian, who did Yeshua Messiah revile and their tradition of the elders And why would you bow to them?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, why would you bow to the Antichrist?
Or not?
Yeah, yeah.
And then what they've done with all this false publicity and name-calling is to give Christianity a bad name. And a lot of people don't know. I don't even like the term Christian. I'm not going to use it.
Yeah.
Because they've made it stink.
Mm-hmm.
That's why.
Right. Yeah, it doesn't really matter.
And the same way with the white nationalists. They tend to confuse Christian identity, or CI, with Judeo-Christianity. It's not even close.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, so...
They try to think that we're preaching Judaism. We are not. We tell them the ultimate white nation is the kingdom of Yahweh.
Amen. Amen.
Get on board.
Yep. Yep. So in this final sentence of this paragraph, as such, the Judeo-Christianity presupposes an inversion of Christian ethics, and that for fear of the Jews. Wow. I could have written this, Pastor Steve. Any CI person could have written this. Whether this person is Christian identity, he doesn't seem to suggest here in the article.
No, he's trying to hide his identity.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't want to get shot in the back of the head walking down the sidewalk.
Yeah, or be called a Nazi.
All right, come on, cut the guy some slack.
Yeah, yeah. He is making absolutely true statements about the concept of Judeo-Christianity. He is. He's right on the money.
Yeah.
Okay? Why don't you take the next sentence, or next paragraph, I should say. And we'll switch off.
Where we got this brings us to the underlying matter.
Yes.
Okay. This brings us to the underlying matter of the Judeo side. If Paul warned the churches regarding the Judaizers to give no heed to Jewish fables because the Judaized Christianity, which their narratives produce, led the whole households astray and represented other gospels.
Yeah, namely Talmudism.
Then we have in the Holocaust just such a narrative. The indoctrination of this fable has indeed resulted in a hybridization of the Christian faith.
Not to mention a hybridization of the white race.
It's a mongrelization of what we originally believed.
That's right.
That's their modus operandi, and they want to do the same with our race. They want to mongrelize our race so we're no longer of Jacob Israel.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
They want to make us mongrels.
Okay, absolutely. I'll take the next paragraph. Irrespective of what did or did not happen to the Jews during World War II, if we are in fact Christians taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, 2 Corinthians 10:5, it is imperative for us to disavow use of the term Holocaust when speaking on the subject, because this term Holocaust incontrovertibly means a burnt offering of propitiation, at least in Scripture, okay?
Yeah.
So the Jews were not offered as a propitiation for anything, right?
Right.
He continues, yes, the Jews invoke the term as doctrine. It is their soteriology, which is their doctrine leading toward the end times. You see, because they reject the Messiah, Christ Jesus, they see themselves as the holy seed, a messianic race. Now, this is incredible. Yeah, it's true. Because they
think that they are the Messiah
mass. Mm-hmm. In mass.
And the only ones that are going to be saved are them.
The whole brood of vipers, right? Thus, they comprehend the crucible of World War II as their Mount Calvary, wherein they atone for their own sins as a people. Well, no, they didn't, because supposedly the Germans burnt them, right? And there was no burning, really, none whatsoever.
Nope.
Except for a few corpses. The Holocaust is not a matter of history, but a doctrinal lens through which history is interpreted. It is, by definition, another gospel, such as Paul warned us against. To the Jewish mind, it sets a narrative of self-atonement in direct repudiation of Christ's atonement and anti-gospel. Well said.
Yep.
Absolutely well said.
Dead on the money.
Okay.
And they have invented this fabrication called the Holocaust.
Right.
I'm going to comment on something, and I hope I don't offend anybody, but Graham Hart has done a video called The Hoax Train.
Yeah, right.
And while he's singing, he's showing all these photographs from
Auschwitz.
During the war and stuff of all these people with their orchestras and the swimming pool.
The Jews with their orchestras.
And they were in these work camps, not death camps, work camps.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. People died there because of the pressure that the Allies put, and they were limiting supplies. There was a typhus epidemic spread by flea bites.
Mm-hmm.
So they had to put the mattresses and clothing and stuff in these little bitty gas chambers and gas them with Zyklon B gas to kill the fleas. Because typhus was a killer.
Yes.
And if you got it, they had no treatment for it.
Right.
And
except
these people were dressed in suit and ties.
In their orchestras. They had a swimming pool.
White shirts, and they all bowed. They had all the instruments, violins and violas and cellos.
They
and
put on their own plays.
All their own plays. All the whole thing. They had an Olympic-sized marble swimming pool.
Yeah.
And had swimming contests. Oh, how horrible. But they downplayed that, and then they try to make the delousing chambers into gas chambers. The shower room, they said it was a giant gas chamber. Well, it was a shower room. Right. It had screen doors and screen windows, and they knocked holes in the roof after the war, because there were no holes in the roof during the war, because aerial photographs showed that, they put holes and vents in there, and then when everybody was gone, they cleared out all the shower walls, knocked them out. You can see where they were knocked out, and then they Zyklon bead everything, and they got the blue stains on the walls.
Right.
But it was not a gas chamber during the war. It was a big shower room. It was a men's shower room. With toilets and showers and mirrors and all that stuff where they could groom had screen doors. I mean, how are you going to have a guest chamber with a screen door? Oh, please.
Right. And even
but they did all this. They did all the modifications post-war because they had control of the country and they wanted to present this false idea they were manufacturing and have milk for all it's worth ever since. So that's how they do it.
Yeah.
They lie and they keep on repeating the lie. And the more they repeat the lie, in the eyes of the uneducated, the more believable it becomes. When they have the massive media control, they bombard the people with these lies.
Yes.
Presented as the truth. And that's how they fool people. It's all deception. And as Graham Hart says in the song, it's the hoax train.
Mm-hmm.
Get off the
right.
hoax train.
Yes, it's done to the
soul
train or whatever it is.
Just rocks. You know, you may or may not like Graham Hart, but I think that is an excellent video.
It's well done.
With it. And I'm going to give credit where credit is due.
It's excellent satire, right. That's absolutely right. Yeah, yeah.
And he can really sing.
Yeah, he's a good singer.
Straight out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's happening more and more that people outside of identity and are picking up our train of thought, so to speak, okay, and exposing these liars and deceivers for what they are. And the internet is just full of satire about the Jews, and there's nothing they can do about it.
Well, they've lied so egregiously over the years. A lie, you have to back it up with a lie, and they've run out of plausible lies, and it doesn't ring true anymore. And they're getting caught out, and they're exposed, and they're panicking. They're going absolute crazy trying to pass laws. You're not allowed to criticize if you say this. They've got them in some countries. You're locking people up. But if they try that here, I think they're going to have a – I think it's going to come to a head before it comes to pass here.
Right, right. Let me just digress here for a minute. I got a couple of quotations people would find pretty interesting. This is from The Myth of a Judeo-Christian Tradition, which is what I was looking for when I actually found this other article that we're doing now, because it has good quotations from people. It says here, the notion of Judeo-Christian religion is an unquestioned, almost sacrosanct, part of both secular and church thinking. American Christian leader Professor Franklin H. Little, L-E-T-T-E-L, L-I-T-T-E-L, a vocal supporter of the Zionist state, frankly declared that to be Christian is to be Jewish. gag. And that
I don't have my hip boots on. let me get the poo-poo Bruce hip boots.
You're traipsing through the swamp of Jewish deceit, and that consequently it was the duty of a Christian to put support for the quote-unquote land of Israel above all else, even Christ.
Well, the land of Israel is becoming untenable, and now they're putting feelers out to try to move over to part of Russia.
Right,
they're getting run out of their own supposed land in this deal with Trump recognizing Jerusalem as the capital. It's just it's falling apart.
Yeah,
he surrounded himself with the Kushners and all
right.
the stuff, and you get so many mixed messages from the man.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah,
and
yeah.
all these arrests were going to occur, and all this one's going to get arrested, and that one's going to get arrested. Why isn't Hillary behind bars?
Right. Why isn't she? Yeah. Although he did release the Hammonds earlier this week, which is
a good thing. I said conflicting messages. Mm-hmm.
Right.
I mean, he's got to throw us a bone once in a while,
chop.
To make it plausibly
crunch
deniable.
Right. Mm-hmm, exactly.
Deniability.
There you go.
I did one good thing, didn't I? Right.
See, look at this.
Yeah.
And he's holding this up with his right hand while he's sticking it to you with the left hand.
Yeah. This is from BibleBelievers.org. I'll put it in the chat room momentarily because I got too many things on my screen. But Pat Boone, the North American singer and evangelist, said there are two kinds of Judaism. One Orthodox and the other Christian. But now this is the quote I was looking for. Yet such a decidedly Christian Zionist outlook is, to say the least, wildly simplistic and profoundly ahistorical. That is correct. It is entirely ahistorical because before the Zionist movement, there was no such thing as appreciation or even association between Christians and Jews. Christians considered Jews to be Christ killers, and Jews considered Christians to be worshiping false gods. Okay? So, as the astute Jewish writer Joshua J. Adler points out, quote, "The differences between Christianity and Judaism are much more than merely believing in whether the Messiah already appeared or still expected, as some like to say. The difference is much greater than that, and there is an unbridgeable chasm between the two religions." Okay? So this
The cooperation between Christianity and Judaism didn't come until Schofield
really
put that filth out that he calls his reference Bible.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of the crowning achievements that they achieved. They were hard at work before that, but that was a big triumph.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, why don't you take the next, or just continue from there while I access Eurofolk Radio and put this link in there so people can read this article as well.
Okay, confronted with this reality, the reaction of the average Judeo-Christian is generally determined by whether he is an evangelical, that means dispensationalist,
that's right,
or reformed. The evangelical proclaims the Jews to be a superior race in the eyes of God, and their political interests all primary to God's kingdom. Therefore, their narrative is, from that jaundiced perspective, inextricable from the gospel.
It's not where in the gospel.
They rightly denounce any who will not serve the Jews as outside the Christian faith. But this is overt heresy.
That's correct.
I agree with that 100%.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, the man who identifies himself as Reform and Judeo-Christian also reacts with a programmed stint of outrage, but will, perhaps after revisiting his catechism, the three forms of unity in the pages of Scripture, deny the Jewish narrative and Zionist political interest is having any essential crossover with the Christian gospel. Albeit, while this is better than the evangelical conclusion, even the Reformed fellow is strongly prone to fall back to the ostensible position of his evangelical cousin when anyone rebukes neoconservatism, Zionist foreign policy, the predation of Jews on Christian society, or the Jewish narrative of World War II.
Mm. Yeah.
Then something short circuits. Suddenly, the Reformed fellow falls into lockstep with the dispensationalist, united somehow in visceral convictions apart from and all too often over stated theology that neuro-habituated programming Judeo-Christianity. In other words, brainwashing.
There you go.
In short words.
Mm-hmm.
Really, what else could make sense of the fact that Christians of all denominations are adopting Holocaust Remembrance Day
right.
as a worldwide Christian holiday along Christmas and Easter? All three are false. Okay, Judeo-Christianity is ostensibly drafting a new liturgical calendar based on cultural Marxism.
There you go.
Ow.
Yep. He's right on.
Boy, this guy is burning bridges here.
Mm-hmm. And a few tears.
Yep, I had to get a little hit of cough.
Yeah, right.
Boy. Pardon me. Underscoring the point further, even the neo-theonomists, the professed mantle bearers of Orthodox nomology, are not so offended by open blasphemies against Christ to demur from religious pluralism.
Yeah, the Jews offend Christ and Christianity every single day.
Rather, they've actually come to cheer for religious pluralism and tolerance, but they seem of one mind on the dreaded subject of Holocaust denial. Dum 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 da dum dum da dum. According to them, denial of the Jewish doctrinal narrative of World War II amounts to collusion in the supposed murder of the sacred 6 million.
But that happened in the past. How can you collude with something that happened in the past?
You agree with the theory, and you're to blame too, because you would be one if you were back then.
Yeah.
I know you would.
Yeah.
Oh,
sure they
man.
Do.
which they entirely take for granted.
Yes, they do.
As they see it, this offense is grievous enough to demand excommunication and even warrants state execution.
Whoa. Ooh.
Well.
Ooh, that's brutal.
Jews and other Satanists.
There you go. Thank you very much.
Are oddly welcome in their utopia, but traditional Christians who reject the Jewish doctrine of the good war and the hybrid ethics of Judeo-Christianity are granted no sanctuary in church or state. Not coincidentally, as in the Jewish-run Soviet Union, anti-Semitism, disagreeing with Jews, would seem to carry a death sentence in the neo-theonomic state. This must have been written a while back.
Yeah, it did. It carried the death penalty. That's right.
And not anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, this means that the present leadership and the churches regard blasphemy spoken against Jesus as far less an offense than a word spoken against the Jews. While they vigorously repudiate the concept of Christian and anti-blasphemy laws, they utter nary a word against the extradition of people from American soil to stand trial in foreign courts for expressing doubts about the Jewish Holocaust.
That's correct.
Doctrine.
That's correct. They stand mute.
Yep.
About that.
Progressively, more and more countries have passed laws criminalizing any deviation from the Israel-approved narrative.
Monica and Alfred Schaefer, perfect example. Where's and the Christian world?
And our Galatianized churchmen seem perfectly content with this state of affairs. Oh, that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Where Paul condemned the Jews for their murder of Christ and their being against all men. That's 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse 15. That's 1 Thessalonians 2, 15. Judeo-Christians today say all men must be for the Jews, even if they want to kill you.
That's right.
The implications of which are that they hold Auschwitz a more hallowed ground than Calvary.
That's right.
It would then seem that the Jews occupy in the consciences of such men a superior position there than Christ, God Almighty, all of which speaks conclusively to the heresy of such a position as it remorselessly flouts the first three of the Ten Commandments directly and sets Caiaphas over Christ.
Wow.
Wow, the high priest.
Yeah. This guy knows his stuff. I mean, more honest words
and it's,
about...
And it's eloquently expressed.
That's right. And there's no refuting it either. You know, the Judeo-Christians stand mute in the face of contrary evidence. Okay? They just blindly follow the Jews because, well, you said it. They're afraid to be called names.
It's money. Mm-hmm. The leaders are bought off. If you express doubts, you're kicked out of your social club. And you don't have anything else in your pathetic little life than your weekly social club. Oh, I've been a member of this church for 30 years, and you're just as dumb today as you were back then.
Yes, right.
Granted, on account of the visceral guilt-based nature of this programming, its theology is frequently asserted at an unconscious level, often even contrary to the professed doctrine of an individual caught in its spell. All the more reason, however, for following Paul's admonition. Rebuke them sharply that they might be sound in the faith. That is the book of Titus, chapter 1, verse 13. That's Titus 1, 13. Any redress of the errors of Judeo-Christian Holocaustianity needs to be especially direct, lucid, and more importantly, orthodox, else there is little likelihood of penetrating this delusion, which Paul referred to as a pernicious bewitchment. That's Galatians chapter 3, verse 1. That's Galatians 3, verse 1. What better word can describe the psycho-sorcery
pharmakia
of guilt manipulation?
Yes, yes. Yeah, and that's a tough nut to crack, because when people believe a lie and they've believed it for 20 or 30 years or even longer,
they dig their heels in
deep into the swamp.
I believe what I believe. Don't confuse me with facts. I don't want to hear it.
So rarely has this, you know, this confluence of the Judeo-Christianity and Holocaustianity have ever been compared before. So this is really an awesome insight of this author. The two are working together. Now, we know there was no such thing as Judeo-Christianity in history, no such word, until about the mid-1930s. Some Jew had to invent it. And there was no such thing as a Holocaust either. Some Jew invented that. Okay? Yeah. Okay, please continue.
Well, there were work camps.
Right.
Not death camps. And they had them all over. Now, the Holocaust, where they had death camps, was after the war, where they herded all the German citizens into these camps under the direction of Dwight David Eisenhower.
Yeah.
And just let them starve.
Yes. A million and a half.
Let them. Oh, man.
German POWs died that way.
Well, they're starving, and. But they're dying, and.
So
but
what?
Don't you want to help them?
No. Right? This is
the
attitude.
They're German. We, quote unquote, have an agenda. Well, that agenda continues today, this is my opinion, because they have this guilt they placed on the German people.
That's right.
We were responsible for all of this, and we did the Holocaust. What a lie! Wake up!
Well, it's a Goyim
of the world.
It's a classic definition. A classic definition of prejudice. You blame an entire race of people for the acts of a few. Okay.
This paragraph explains it. Moreover, the metaphysical heft of that guilt well transcends the individual. It's systemic in German.
That's right.
Operative on a societal scale, it is a defining wind of doctrine contiguous with the secular zeitgeist. Frankly, the fact that Judeo-Christians find no disagreement with the Jewish / humanist interpretation of that high, holy sacrifice, granting Christ's enemies the ostensible rule of all nations, is itself an uncanny proof of the Judeo-Christian worldview being something apart from Christianity.
That should be obvious.
This meta-ethical blindness is so severe in the post-World War II churches that they either do not perceive or do not care that the Holocaust represents an historic paradigm shift against the Christian faith.
They don't get it. They're living in a delusion.
They don't want to get it because it would hurt their collection plan.
That's right.
Okay, they got a good thing going.
501c3.
Don't rock that boat. For no matter how we may wish to suppress its implications, if we grant the Holocaust in principle, we have conceded to flipping the historical script with the Messiah in his people, recast as the ultimate villain of history, and the villains, his murderers, the Jews, recast as a separate and greater Messiah.
There you go. Yes.
in popular perception, it takes the blood guilt of the Jews
off the Jews,
which off the Jews, yeah, which they admitted.
Mm-hmm.
Let his blood be on us. Okay. Well, yeah. Well, it is.
It is.
Laying it upon Christendom and thereby Christ himself. This inversion of perspective, with a full synergistic effort of Hollywood and academia, accounts for the radical polarization away from Christian law and ethics in the church. Oh, it's all nailed to the cross.
Yeah, right.
To go by that man. And we're all brothers.
I can lie, cheat, kill, and steal just like the Jews do.
Right. It explains why claimants of Christ now generally regard all things wholesome, beautiful, high, and familiar as tokens of abject evil. What's it say in Scripture? In the last days, that which is evil will become good, and that which is good will become evil.
That's right.
Okay. While simultaneously imputing to all things tainted, ugly, low, and foreign some higher metaphysical virtue.
Multiculturalism.
It posits the only good Christian as one who serves the Jews. Next paragraph. But the Jews have long had a term for blood guilt denied. Blood libel. Under their late hegemony, this term has supplanted all previous Christian terminology. Blood guilt, blood curse, or deicide as descriptive of Matthew 27, verse 25, Acts 5, verse 28, 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 15, etc. For the matter in the common vernacular of the churches. This new term implicitly posits an organized Christian conspiracy, international and in scope, pardon me, and spanning more than a millennium, with a coordinated effort by thousands of Christians of various ways of life to frame the Jews in the brutal ritual murders of their own children. Without any analysis of the facts pertaining to these accusations, one way or the other, Judeo-Christians today grant the dubious Jewish perspective without question.
That's correct.
Worse, they don't even balk at the fact that the Jews regard the crucifixion of Christ to be the greatest and central blood libel. In fact, lumpen evangelicals concede to the Jews even on that by dissembling on the matter of who killed Christ.
Mm-hmm. It was the Romans.
While the apostles emphasized the Jewish role in Christ's execution, Judeo-Christians object, saying rather that all mankind killed Jesus together.
But not the Jews. But not
with
the
an
Jews.
Equal hand in the crime. But even this attempt at mitigating the Jewish role in the crucifixion does not placate the Jews. Rather, they either deny the Jews had any part in the murder of Christ, or they embrace it heartily,
yes,
like Sarah Silverman.
That's right.
Asserting that they executed him for idolatry and blasphemy. The common denominator between these alternatives is that they deny any wrongdoing and insist that any insinuation on the contrary on the part of Christians is itself blood libel.
The Jews are innocent of everything.
Oh, we're such victims.
Yes.
Oi, we're persecuted.
Oi, victim.
You persecute us, the innocent ones. Oh. Next paragraph. So the Holocaust, their soteriological equivalent of Golgotha Hill, imputed in the popular mind the blood guilt previously recognized as theirs back upon Christendom.
Yep.
Thus, the neoconservative favorite of Judeo-Christians, Ben Shapiro, rules in accord with the ADL that the New Testament doctrine of blood guilt leads to blood libels.
Yeah, it's a, well, the average Christian can't they don't believe that a group of people like the Jews could possibly be lying about all of this.
They so can't conceive of such evil because right. they're dumbed down.
That's right.
They're not taught about evil by the churches.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God is love and we're all brothers.
Now, wait a minute. Now, this has got to lead to a contradiction even in Judeo-Christian doctrine, because if Christ's blood atonement at Calvary forgave all their sins, then why do they allow the Jews to accuse them of being guilty of this sin?
Because they're stupid.
There you go.
You know, they don't think, they don't read the Bible, they don't study.
No.
And the ones that do have broken away.
Yeah, that's right.
And there's these little bitty independent churches that are not affiliated with these great big mega churches that are teaching
The truth.
The old ways.
That's right.
You know, you go in the church, the women are wearing long dresses, they had their head covered. The men have beards. Yeah, but they're all kooks, are they? Really? Yeah.
Kook-kook-a-dook.
Yeah, well.
To quote Marilyn Monroe.
It's breaking out all over. They have lost control, Eli.
Yes. Yeah, it's incredible.
This methodology that we're talking about right here is now failing.
Yes. Well, it's
because
obvious.
Of their actions
being
so horrible and all what's going on. You can only victimize the white man so much. Some are going to lay down and just let themselves die.
Yeah, right.
And I say goodbye.
Yeah. Captain
and
Witness,
the rest of us, we're going to stand up.
Yes. If the Holohawks had actually happened, it would only be a down payment. Very good.
Yeah, well.
Yep. Yeah, Jude, what makes you think that's the end of it? Right?
We're sharpening our sword. We're going to come around and see you.
Yeah, right. Maranatha. Maranatha.
Yeah, well, you know, we're waiting for our leader to come back.
Yes.
And once that happens, it's going to be a bloodbath.
That's right.
And they don't want to hear that. That's too much for them.
Yes.
Oh, I don't really want to hurt anybody. Then stay the heck out of my way.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you get in the way and you're trying to protect these, you're their minion and you go down too.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how it is. But I'm a white man, then you should have thought of that earlier. Chop.
Right. And this is only addressing the religious aspect of the delusion, because in the secular world, white people have been dumbed down and fitted with guilt for just about everything, just being white, actually. Right.
Yeah.
So in the secular world, we're condemned for being white. In the religious world, we're condemned for killing the Jews in the Holocaust. Okay.
Well, the people that are the problem in our own race are those that are job scared.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, I don't want to lose my job. I got an SUV payment to make.
Right.
Yeah, that's going to get you in the kingdom. I'm sure you're going to drive right through the gates.
Yeah, right. Pearly gates.
Okay. Yeah,
Well,
let's get into the next paragraph. Once granted by world governments, this Holocaust theology has, in the churches unofficially, albeit conclusively, anathematized any continued acknowledgement of blood guilt against the Jews and conversely institutionalized blood libel against Christendom.
That's correct.
Reducing the religion of our pulpits from the command of repentance for all men and the forgiveness of sins to the enslavement of Christendom to an eternal social and metaphysical guilt and the newly discovered higher law which demands veneration of the single most anti-Christian demographic on earth.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I love the Jews. They're God's chosen people.
They're gods.
They're gods.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's right.
So it is that the church has acquiesced to every foreign god and sect because our churchmen here believe Christendom to have no moral authority apart from ecumenical solidarity with the other.
That's right. Very
good. In other words, we've allowed these Muslims and all these Mamba Jabbas that worship Katsahunda or whatever.
Yeah.
We've allowed them in, and then they're raping and murdering and eating our women and kids and just doing all this stuff, and we just sit by.
Yeah.
Oh, well, what can I do?
I don't even think he's quoted 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 yet.
No, not yet.
Yeah.
I'll do that for him.
Yeah, right. Yeah, because we're almost at the end, about 10 minutes.
Okay. This is the zeitgeist. Judeo-Christianity does not oppose it, but only begs its acceptance to find, perchance, the favor of the Jews, and therein do they place their new hope of salvation.
But only in this world.
Well,
they have become totally materialistic, just like the Jews.
Listen to this. There is no neutral ground. To whatever extent the Judeo-narrative of history is accepted, so is their false gospel.
Mm-hmm.
No matter how Judeo-Christians might wish to hedge their hybridized faith to somehow retain both the Christian faith and the Talmudic narrative, it cannot but subordinate Christianity,
which it always
to
has,
the Jews,
yes,
and a Christ subordinate to his enemies is not the Christ of Scripture. Such a Christ is but a golem dispatched to rend from within what little life remains in the breast of Christendom.
You know, if we didn't know all this stuff was true, if we didn't notice already, this would break my heart, right? But my heart has already been broken by this. He's just confirming what we've been teaching about the Judeo-churches in identity since Henry Ford first enunciated these principles. Okay.
Here we go. I'm going to quote it.
Okay.
2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6. Since Elohim shall rightly repay with affliction those who afflict you, he's speaking to Israel.
Mm-hmm. Not to the Jews.
And to give you who are afflicted rest with us when the Master Yeshua is revealed from heaven with his mighty messengers. Verse 8. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know Elohim and those who do not obey the good news of our Master Yeshua Messiah.
Amen.
Verse 9.
Obey?
Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Master and from the esteem of his strength. Verse 10. When he comes to be esteemed in his set apart ones, that's the remnant, and to be admired among all those who believe in that day because our witness to you was believed. Now, brothers and sisters, that includes Israelites. They're going to be destroyed too
because
they don't want to obey.
They've become Judaized.
They want to preach this watered-down claptrap and they want to worship the Jews instead of Yeshua, and they want to deny the words that he said, that they're the father, their father's the devil, and their father's works they do. So they modify all this stuff, and they teach all this stuff, and those who repeat these lies will be numbered among the tares.
There you go.
And they will be bundled and burned and suffer the second death. They will not see eternal life because they are the enemy of our master.
Yes.
And that's what it says, and they can't handle that. They can't deal with it.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, it's just, it's incredible, Pastor Steve, the number of lies taught by the Judeo-Christian churches, not only on behalf of the Jews, but on behalf of their own delusionary, you know, multiculturalism, their antinomianism. You mentioned dispensationalism. Everything they teach is based on distortions of scriptural pronouncements, total distortions. So in many ways, these Christians, so-called Christians, have outdone the Jews by distorting scripture in ways that Jews probably never even thought of. Right?
Well, we don't have a lot left in this article.
Yeah.
You want me to run through one more paragraph?
Yeah, absolutely. And I recommend to everybody to download this article and print it out and share it with as many of your brethren as possible, because this is eloquent, it's detailed, it shows the extent to which an entire race, except for the remnant, can be utterly brainwashed, given enough time and given enough, you know, money. Right?
There
it's
we
incredible.
Go.
Incredible.
But, and all this is a great consolation too. For the blasphemy of Galatianism and the heresy of modern Holocaust theology ensure an inevitable collapse of the Judeo-Christendom.
That's right.
Because this spurious alloy of incompatible elements proves brittle no matter what implement is forged from it, the express values of Judeo-Christianity cannot be lived out coherently. We bear witness of this recompense even now as the greatest commandment. Defending Israel at all costs results in unending sacrifice of their sons' strength in far-flung lands.
And the rape of their daughters.
On behalf of Christ's most tenacious enemies.
That's right.
And all this, while the multi-ethnic religious pluralism presupposed in their amalgamated religion likewise demands the gates be flung wide at home to radicalized refugees from all the tribes on which they made war.
Mm-hmm.
They do not reproduce themselves physically, but diminish year by year. And the heirs they do produce generally do not perpetuate the Christian religion in any recognizable form. All their denominations falter, their congregations disintegrate, their seminaries hang by a thread, and every political and economic paradigm which they have professed founder.
That's right.
It's getting less and less. But to heed the apostles' command to rebuke them sharply, we must recognize also with the fact that all of us today have been reared in the shadow of that Judaized Christendom, and none have been so cloistered as to wholly avoid its conceptual influences. Therefore, inasmuch as we hope to cast down the bewitching Galatian theology ravaging the churches, we must endeavor first to take every thought captive, that's 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, in our own hearts. For you cannot revenge all disobedience until your obedience is fulfilled. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 6. As with the terms racism, sexism, xenophobia, Islamophobia, etc., in order to purge its Judaized presuppositions from our own minds, we must purge the Judaic usages of the term Holocaust from our own lexicon.
That's right.
It simply does not mean what they use it to signify. only by reasserting genuine meetings against the fantasies of Judeo-Christianity may we reclaim the language of Christendom and reprise truth. If we fail to do so, proving ourselves ensnared, if to a lesser degree, in the same Talmudic dogmas, will we be exempt from the rebuke of heaven?
Not hardly. Not hardly.
That ends the article.
Yes. Well, it's interesting. He's where he says here that it's the first sentence of this paragraph. But to heed the apostles' command to rebuke them sharply, we must reckon also with the fact that all of us today have been reared in the shadow of that Judaized Christendom, and that none have been so cloistered as to wholly avoid its conceptual influences. He must not be aware of Christian identity. We utterly reject this Judaized Christendom. Utterly reject it.
Absolutely.
Okay? He must not be aware of Christian identity.
Well, this some of the stuff in here leads me to believe it's an older article.
It's quite possible. Let me see. It's dated June 16, 2016. However, it may just be a publication date. You know, it may be older material. But he may not be. And then the acknowledgement at the bottom. And for some reason, the link I have is corrupted to this article. Steve, if you could copy the link and put it in the chat room again. So people.
This article?
Yeah, okay. This article, right. So it says, regarding the author Ehud Wold, W-O-U-L-D, Ehud Wold is a conservative Presbyterian of Scandinavian Germano-Celtic background, but he doesn't know identity, and a refugee from the Reconquista state of Southern California, oh, glad you got out, bro, who having recently followed the Northwest Imperative, what's that guy's name?
Harold Covington.
Harold Covington. So it's proof he's not identity. Resettled his family in court, but he's right on the money when it comes to analyzing Judeo-Christianity. I don't think anybody has ever said it better than in this article here and in the great detail that he shares with us. And he settled in none other than Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. Right?
Yeah, he's a Covingtonite.
Yeah. No doubt, but he's not that far from Pastor Sheldon Emery's daughter. Where are they at? There's an identity, congregation not far from it, right in there actually, where he pursues writing, illustration, medical administration, and presides as an elected official. Wow. But he's not identity. He is so close to identity. He's almost falling into the pool, but he's not.
Yeah.
It's an incredible article insofar as he's not an identity Christian. It's really incredible, okay? So we need to contact this guy and say, hey, are you aware of Christian identity? You're living right near a congregation in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. You need to check these people out, okay? So, folks, this is one of the most awesome articles ever written about Judeo-Christianity, and it's certainly its connection to the heresy of the Holocaust, the fictitious Holocaust. So, and it's amazing that a non-identian has made these statements in this article. It's absolutely amazing. Nonetheless, everything he says is absolutely true, with the exception of a couple of universalist statements, all men will be saved. You know, we know that's not true. But nevertheless, his analysis of Judeo-Christianity is right on the money, folks, right on the money. Okay, that would conclude this second episode of this series. Praise Yahweh, pass the ammunition. You have heard the truth, plainly stated. Thanks for listening. Praise Yahweh.
Praise Yahweh.